This is the Truth Radio Network.
The Truth Radio Network.
Your home for compelling Christian news talk with an edge.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. Is up and the stock market down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. Good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those wooden and mold boys raised on shotguns. We say grace, we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. Came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway night, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
You feel like after that big finish, you would let out a big woo or something like that. Anyway, hey, welcome in to a swift kick in the afternoon, Friday edition. Man, we missed a day, Joe. It's okay. We had stuff to do. We're here today, though. How's it going this week, brother?
I'm doing pretty good. Just dealing with the flip-flopping weather here. It was nice and warm. I had 70 degrees. Last week, Now I think high today is like 52, and they're predicting snow, is what I saw last time I looked at the weather. But you know, you got to deal with what you're dealt with, so just, you know, prep and act accordingly.
Right on. But, hey, we're supposed to get about an inch or so, you know, into tomorrow. But then after that, Joe, the forecast for the next 2 weeks is like high 50s to 60s for us, which is welcome news for me. You know how much I love snow, so and cold weather. But yeah, it's going to be great for the next couple of weeks at least here. So I think finally, hopefully, old man winter's taking a nap.
Yeah, well, just, you know, be ready for anything. You know, that's the nice thing about, you know, not worrying, you know, having faith in the Lord, you know, that, you know, whatever's going to be thrown at me, I'm able to deal with. And, weather's one of those things, you just got to, you know, roll with it and, I mean, I got my tulips are coming up. I got green patches on the ground. Weeds mostly. it's looking pre-spring and, you know, I just hope that we don't have another, late fall, early spring like we did back in, I think it was like 04 here. We had like 2 weeks of spring and then boom, 8 inches of snow and it froze out all the buds and everything that were on the trees and, you know, coming up. And so we ended up with a pretty much a late harvest. You know, everything was kind of held back about 2 months because it had to regrow.
Right. But, you know, when you were talking earlier, sorry, go ahead, bro. I think there's a little bit of a delay today, darn it.
I was going to say so much for the weather. Running the clowns last night.
As soon as you mentioned how the weather flip flops, my head already started spinning. I was like, it's amazing to me. It's funny actually how much weather and politics are alike.
Oh yeah.
Flip flops. If you know, the weather changes, the wind changes directions. And you know, the funny thing about what's really similar about politics and the weather, that if you're standing down from a manure factory, you get bad smell, very unsettling smell. And that's what politics have become, in my opinion, just a big manure factory. You had said something good off the air, Joe, about the lesser of two evils. And why don't you, that little comment you made about, you've already admitted, what is it that you said? Sorry.
Okay. I was having a conversation with my mother earlier and she goes, because I was telling her that, you know, if these are the clowns, you know, that we're going to have to vote for, I can't vote for the lesser of two evils, because by admitting, you know, the lesser of two evils, you're already admitted that they're both evil.
Yeah, that's a great point. And a lot of folks don't even think about that. Oh, I'm going to vote for the lesser two evils. You know what, really, and I don't want to get off on a political rant because we got a show to talk about prepping and other stuff. You know, what really disturbs me about this selection cycle is that there's no, other than John Kasich and Bernie Sanders, nobody's really talking about issues. No one's really talking about issues, and I don't know if I said this the other day when I was on the air with Army Girl, but I had said that it's kind of an easy cop-out for these candidates that aren't talking about issues. that are really just you know, the talking points and the anecdotes and the mudslinging, the attacks, you know, the silly juvenile stuff that I, you know, and, the other day. It's kind of an easy way for them to get the publicity, but not really commit to anything, to not really have any issues that you're gonna commit to. And I was thinking, boy, that kind of really leaves them off the hook for anything that goes wrong too. It's like, well, hey, I didn't say I was gonna do this, or I didn't say I was gonna do that, and this and that. And I was like, man, is the voting populace really that naive? Is that the nicest way I could possibly put it? Joe, are they really that naive?
Yeah. Yes, they are. We're witnessing the effects of the public education system. Parents not doing their due diligence to ensure that their children have a proper education and can coherently put two brain cells together and come up with a thought of their own, you know. What's a sign of the times? It's instant gratification. I could be really pessimistic and say it's cell phone damage, but it's societal collapse in slow motion.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, the society, for the most part, is more concerned with being entertained than anything else, above and beyond anything else. Like you always say it about sports, and it irks me, bread and circuses, you know, because I'm a sports fan. That's exactly what the people are given, bread and circuses. You keep their bellies partially full or all the way full, and you keep them entertained, and they don't give a damn about politics. We're seeing that in the last 20 years, especially, but especially more in the last 12 years.
Oh, yeah. The economy's doing great. You know, gas is low. Yeah, but have you seen prices lately, the grocery store? If anybody's watching the imported goods, the Baltic List or whatever, ships that are inbound to the United States that are carrying freight, there are very, very few of them. Usually
right.
There are about like 400 different vessels out there on the open seas that are either traveling to or from America with imports and exports. But America is not exporting anything except for fiat petrodollars. And
right.
So,
right. We export our... Sorry, bro. Well, I was just going to say
we export our
debt and our overinflated currency. Hey, listen, I'm gonna reconnect here with the switchboard. Go ahead and keep on talking for a minute, bro.
Okay. It's just well, like I said, it's a sign of the times, and you know, I hope and pray that people are starting to put stuff together and prep. Came across a really good article, about things that you'll regret not having in shift. Number one on this list, alcohol. Alcohol, well, besides the obvious reason to dull your senses, is a very good antiseptic. It's a fire starter. It can be used in tinctures. It's very, very good bartering item.
What did I miss?
Get over bartering bullets or anything else. But it's just a lot of things that we should have on hand. Period. Because the last thing you want to do is to be where everybody else is when it hits the fan. And I just posted that link in the chat. Number two is soap. In a shift down situation, personal cleanliness is going to be a lacking thing that you know, a lot of people aren't getting. Having the ability to clean yourself and keep your hands and face clean, besides being presentable for other people, you know, it's good hygienic practice. It keeps you healthy. You're not infecting yourself every time you grab something and wipe your nose or pick up something to eat. Number three, can openers, and this will only apply to people who actually have a little bit of forethought and have bought some can, because the can opener itself is not very edible.
Food? So, some people actually store up food, Joe?
Oh, well, some of us, us crazy preppers, you know, that actually think that, you know, the economy could, you know, something could happen, but hey, I'm not really prepping for the zombie apocalypse or, you know, foreign troops riding in the streets. I'm prepping for a natural disaster. I'm prepping for, you know, for possible financial failure, economic failure. I mean, society the way it's going, I mean, they can't keep the charade going very much longer. Is the way I look at it.
It's you're right. Yeah, it's going to be a while, but it's not going to be pretty.
And the more of these things that you already have, the less, you know, time and effort you have to waste getting them while everybody else is trying to get them. Number four on this list are lighters and matches. They will be worth their weight in gold. Your ability to start a fire, keep you warm, to cook or prepare your food over. You know, one of the basic things that the caveman mastered thousands of years ago. Hello, have a clue. Have a couple on hand.
Joe, you know what I find is really funny? I talk to some people, and they're like, oh, you know, matches, lighter, I'll just start a fire with two, you know, this and that, alternate methods, you know, a magnifying glass in the sun, which actually would work okay. But if people just don't know how to start a fire. They see it on MacGyver or on TV, and they're like, oh, you know, you can start a fire like that. It's not Hollywood. You know, it really isn't. To start a fire, maintain a fire, takes practice. It does. You can't just start rubbing two sticks together and expect a spark. What are you trying to spark, first of all? You know, and I tell you what's really good is a good, you know, chunk of hair. You know, cut out. I mean, if you have nothing else to get the spark going, to grab your knife and cut off a big chunk of hair. It's going to grow back, folks. But it's a good.
Yeah.
Something to get a spark on. So I just had to say that because as I was reading that, a lot of folks just do not understand the intricacies of starting a fire if you don't have a lighter or matches around. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah. Well, you're going to rub two sticks together. Have you ever made a bow fire before? You know, you know, there's a process. Do you know what dry tinder is? You know, or do you have the ability to create dry tinder? You know, can be done very easily. Pull the land out of your pocket, separate it a little bit. It will start and ignite if you have a spark, but you don't have a spark because you didn't bother buying matches or a lighter and prepare for the situation. So, and hope and pray that you can find dry sticks, but if you've never been camping or, you know, actually went out and tried to find these things, you have no clue on where to start looking. It's like you can't see the forest or the trees because there's leaves on the trees. You know, get over your inhibitions, people, and go out and, you know, spend the afternoon and try, you know, practice these skills. Skills and knowledge are something that nobody can ever take from you. Once you've learned the process, it stays with you. It's like riding a bike. They say if you've ridden a bike before, you never forget. Well, sometimes people forget how to balance, but they still know that they have to keep momentum going so that they can get that balance, you know. So practice and prep accordingly. It's a process. I mean, my father made sure that all of us, you know, were well educated on how to survive in the woods. And I mean, I spent hours in a wet sleeping bag with nothing more than a candy bar. And you know, hey, when I got done and got out of that bag, you know, hey, conditions cleared up. I was able and ready to get out of the hole that I was where I was at, you know. But I mean, without the knowledge of knowing how to, you know, keep myself warm even though I have wet materials, you know, I wouldn't have been able to do that. So knowledge is your best friend. I can keep going, but I'm not going to rant today.
It to me. Make me look like the bad guy.
Yeah.
Number five on this list is so important. Along with number one, these things folks seem to forget about. But number five is more important than number one. But number five is good for number one and number two. A little joke there, sorry. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah. But no, toilet paper, very handy. It beats using a handful of sand. And I've been in places where that's what they use. And you don't shake hands with these people for the obvious reason. Toilet paper, it's just like the dollar bill. I wouldn't want to use a dollar bill to wipe myself because they're contaminated biofactories. The dollar's not going to be worth anything, so, you know, it crumples like toilet paper, so you might as well use it if you have it.
Yeah,
but
that's kind of rough.
Yeah, don't want to go there. It's little things that make life so much easier, and the more you have, the less you have to scavenge for. It's a simple process. I mean, there's an old commercial. You can pay me now or you can pay me later, and well, it's a lot cheaper now, so I'll get it now. Hello. Toilet paper very useful, and remember. If you don't have proper facilities, bag it or bury it so it can be burned, but you don't want to bury it near your water source, like your open stream or your pond or wherever you think you're going to be getting your water from, because then you're inviting all kinds of other things you don't want to go. Nothing will bring you down faster than bad water. Intestinal diseases can cause death, people. It's not just a thing of the past. I mean, it's here present today, and if you don't have a way of, cleaning and preparing your water so that it's drinkable and can be used for cooking and cleaning, you know, then you're just contaminating yourself and everybody else that you're serving. And the last thing a parent wants to see is their child suffering because their neglect in preparation for something that they knew was coming. Number six on this great list, scissors, very handy.
But don't run with
knives.
Them.
Don't run with them. They're great. They're they're time savers. I would say, you know, if you don't have scissors, have a good knife, you know. Scissors as far as for, you know, your medical preps, I got at least 3 or 4 pairs of scissors in each of my bags. I got suture scissors, I've got gauze scissors. I even have, I have chest scissors. They're designed for chopping somebody's chest cavity open. I don't ever plan on using them, but they're still in the sterile bag they came in. So, like I said, it's better to have and not need than need and not have. Plan and prep accordingly. Tools. Nothing saves time faster than having a tool. At one point in time, everybody carried a knife for the common reason that it was something that you used. It's a tool. It's also a weapon. It can be used for self-defense. But it is a tool, and it's, you know, it's you planning on, you know, the unpredictable. And by having the correct tools at hand, you know, you're not out trying to scavenge everything you need. I carry a little leather wingman. Nice little less than 5 ounces of stainless steel. It's got pliers, wire cutters, knife blade with serrated edge, scissors, screwdrivers, can opener. Boom, it's a toolbox. It fits in your pocket. It's light and easy to carry, people, and they're less than $30. And for the amount of time that it saves you, because, I mean, hey, if you got it with you, then boom, you're not having to go back to wherever to go find tools. You can take care of the problem right there and then. So, prep and act accordingly. Hammer, saw, hand tools, not power tools, hand tools. You're in a shift down situation. Do not plan on the grid being there. But if you have these things already, you're already steps ahead of the guy who's trying to figure out what to do next. So I would say, you know, at least a hammer, some nails, a saw. We can also throw in garden implements.
Right.
Shovels, a rake, a hoe. You know, boom, all these things are going to, you know, you can find them at most garage sales, you know, or estate sales. And used tools are half the price of new tools, and most likely will last longer with the way stuff's made today.
Yeah, you want the better made stuff, the well forged steel tools, not the crap that you get at the dollar store. Oh boy, yeah, tools, especially like you had mentioned, gardening tools. If you plan on planting a survival garden or something like that, you're gonna have to have garden tools. And the time of the year is coming up now where it's getting warmer. We were just talking about the weather, and folks are gonna start having garage sales, yard sales, things like that, and they're gonna be getting rid of their old toys and tools and whatnot. You can get some good deals on used things.
Oh yeah, most definitely. And I consider myself frugal, but some of the best deals I've ever gotten have been at garage sales or estate sales. And, you know, just
yeah, flea market too, you know, or swap meet.
Oh,
depends
yeah.
on what part of the country you're in.
Exactly.
Flea market or swap meet, same thing. But yeah, secondhand stores, charity
exactly.
stores, Salvation Army, things like that.
Exactly. And it's, you know, you're paying less than half price on most of this stuff, and it's most likely going to last longer than the new stuff put out. So prep and plan accordingly. Number 8 on this list is painkillers. Over-the-counter stuff, aspirin, Tylenol, ibuprofen, you know. These things are going to be necessary because everybody suffers from mild discomfort disorder. You know, you bang your knee. Well, me, I've got permanent water on both of my knees, so I try and watch what I bounce off of, you know, and make sure that it's not harder than concrete. And but I don't like using painkillers, but I will take an anti-inflammatory to reduce the pain, and you know, makes the healing process go quite a bit faster. If you have painkillers, they are going to be worth more than their weight in gold. I don't know if you've ever suffered from a toothache and it won't let you sleep. You know,
oh, yeah. That's where you know, aspirin and acetaminophen, Aleve, you know, things like that. Like you said, the over-the-counter stuff will be worth its weight in gold, because not a lot of folks even have more than, you know, a limited little supply just for their family. And when it runs out, you know, you go to the store and get more, you know, the local drugstore and whatnot. But those things will be, man, can you imagine, Joe, the relief you'd be able to provide somebody who has, like, say, a toothache or a cavity or something, and they can't get to the doctor or the dentist for, to pick your reason, whatever the reason might be. You know, you don't have to have a good reason to stock up on it. There are plenty of reasons,
well,
period.
Yeah. And, alcohol, is very good. Well, besides it being an antiseptic, it will deaden the nerves if you got a toothache. And, you know, doesn't have to be a whole shot, just a little bit, and you put it on the side of the mouth wherever your tooth is. And let it
sit
there.
Yep, I've done that.
Don't
swallow it. Don't swallow it.
Let it sit there. After it's done the effect, after it's done its work. But the main thing you want it to do is you want it to get in there and deaden that nerve so that you can at least think clearly, and thinking clearly is going to help you have a better perspective of what is happening around you. So prep and plan accordingly. Aspirin, very good anti-inflammatory. It also thins down your blood, so people with high blood pressure watch it. And I'm not a doctor. I don't even play one on TV, but prep and plan accordingly, people.
I played doctor a couple times. Got in trouble.
Yeah. The little girls that I knew enjoyed it too, but we're not going to go there. very, very essential to have. And along with painkillers, I would suggest having a good, well-rounded first aid kit. I mean, I'm not talking about go out and get yourself a surgical suture kit unless you know how to do sutures. Or unless you can pass it on to a registered nurse who knows how to do sutures and stuff. I can do sutures. I've done them on myself. In my first aid kit, I've got suture kit and staples, staple removers also. You know, it's just, you know, plan on it. I mean, people get cut today. They go to the hospital. When you can't go to the hospital, what are you going to do? Prep and plan accordingly. It's just one of those things. Most people suffer for lack of forethought. Number nine on this list is one of my pet peeves. Ammo, plenty of it, and I won't use it as a barter item because it can be turned around and used against me. I mean, that's the last thing I want to do is give somebody the ability to shoot me at any distance. I won't barter my ammo, but I do have some, and you know, that's the way I'm going to leave it. So prep and plan accordingly. Remember, people, in a ship down situation, unless you're a loader and you have your primers and your powder already and your bullets, what are you going to do? You got a bunch of worthless equipment there. They might as well be anchors for your boat.
Right, right. And, you know, this article points out a really good point that folks don't realize. You're going to need more ammo than you expect. So if you're planning on, you know, for personal use like Joe, whatever you think you're going to need, double it. And another good point this article makes, just remember that in a it hits the fan situation, you probably don't want to advertise your position and the fact you have guns. Stockpile,
exactly.
Arrowheads, bowstrings, knives, baseball bats, you know, things
Bombs,
like that.
Fire irons,
slingshot.
Exactly. I've got a half dozen slingshots, and for a few of them, I've made arrow rests, so that the you can turn around and put a string on the leather strap, and take an arrow, and boom! Now you've got a smaller version of a bow that can be shoved in your back pocket. With the exception of the arrow, I don't want to be shoving that into my back pocket.
Right.
But, and can be used in self-defense or as a hunting implement. I mean, worst case scenario, if you have it, you can use it to set up a trap so that you don't have to be sitting there in the cold waiting for that animal to walk down the trail. Have a clue, get some twine, build yourself a little trigger so that when whatever you're hunting steps down the animal path, that it releases the arrow. You know, if you're not right there, yeah, you're going to have to track it, but you're going to have to do that anyways, most likely. But, I mean, at least you have something and you're not just sitting there waiting for the FEMA truck to show up so you can get your one meal and two bottles of water.
Right.
So prep and plan accordingly, please, people. Prep and plan accordingly. Now, in addition to this list, number 10 they've got down here is bleach. Bleach is very, very useful as far as decontaminating your water. It will kill the bacteria that's in there that it will try to kill you. Also very good for laundry, but you cannot use bleach in wounds. Not very good. Not very good at all. So prep and plan accordingly. Hydrogen peroxide, rubbing alcohol, even your 151 or vodka will clean your wound better than the bleach, and you don't end up with contaminating yourself. And it's 5 drops per gallon, 2 to 3 drops per liter. So prep and plan accordingly. What should have been on this list? Go ahead, Jay.
I'm just reading some of the comments here underneath this article, and there's a few suggestions for things that are on this that should have been on the list. But go ahead, man. You were way ahead of me.
What should have been on this list is flashlights, flashlight batteries,
candles,
radios, personal communications between you and your family. Is going to be a big thing. A flashlight when the power's out or there is no power, is, I mean, the one-eyed man is king in the land of the blind. If you can't see, your coffee table becomes a hazard. I don't know how,
right.
I mean, but, you know, just simple little yard items, you know. Park benches hurt when you walk into them, period. been there, done that. You know, if you can't see, you're moving slow. Light helps you with your security. And besides that, evil hates the light because it exposes them. So prep and plan accordingly. There are a lot of things that could be on this list that, you know, that I suggest that people should consider. Candles, batteries for your flashlight. On eBay, I just picked up a brand new little Eaton emergency radio, solar powered, also has a crank, AM FM weather channel, and get this,
yep,
for people who have cell phones, it's got a cell phone charger on it. You plug your cell phone into this thing, crank it for 10 to 15 minutes, you have a minute of use. But on top of that, you have a way of putting a charge so that if cell phone towers are down, your cell phone's still good. It'll still function. You still have a camera that works. All your apps should work. So,
yeah, and you'd have
some
games. And you have some games to keep the kiddies busy.
Oh, yeah, and that's, you know, board games for the kids. You know, kids are great. Kids are a blessing. But when they're under feet, they're a hazard. They're not only a hazard to themselves because, number one, most of them aren't really concerned about what they're doing when they're playing. You don't want them in the middle of something that they may get hurt. Games will keep them mentally occupied. Having books on hand, physical documentation, reading material is going to be very, very important. You don't know how boring it gets sitting there, you know, waiting for sunrise so that you can go do something. Books and reading material will also take your mind off of the things that are happening around you. But prepping books will give you some knowledge so that you can better handle the things that are going on around you. Hint. You know, it's the little things that make life a lot easier. You know, you don't have to dive in, you know, $10,000 worth of the platinum gear, the super ride, you know, the awesome bug out location. Start small, people. Get 3 weeks worth of non-perishable food, you know. And, you know, dry milk, rice, beans, dread it, but I will say the S word, Spam. It's got an awesome shelf life, not the best stuff in the world, but it's calories, it's fiber,
right.
And it's essential oils that the body uses on a daily basis. So you won't be able to get those from your just basic grain line. And, I mean, 2 weeks after shift happens and the stores have been cleared, I doubt if you're going to see a deer for years. And
right.
I live in deer country. Because everybody and their brother is going to go, oh, I'll just go bag a deer. Yeah, uh-huh. And after that, they're going, oh, well, I'll just cut this fence and grab a cow. Uh-huh. And it keeps going, and you keep doing those small justifications that, you know, Well, I need it to survive, so it's okay.
Right.
And it's down the slippery slope we tumble. So the best thing that you can do is to plan and prep accordingly. It's not that hard. I carry 3 days worth of food in my truck. I mean, I don't want to have to spend 3 days in my truck, but hey, I know that if I break down and I'm not within walking distance of anything, you know, I can at least survive for 3 days comfortably. And, you know, I'm not going to worry about it. And
right.
Another thing, stress. Stress will tax your body. Stress increases your stomach's output of acid. Upset stomach, ulcers. Boom. Solve that problem. Have stuff that you need or you think you're going to need. And,
right.
Hey, and if you don't use it right off the bat, you know, you'll find somebody who wants it or needs it. So it's a potential barter item down the road. And, you know, it's just the little forethought things that, you know, make life so much easier. And, you know, it's better to have and not need, need and not have. Go ahead, Jay.
I was just going to say that brings us, Joe, to about 12 minutes left in the show. I wanted to pose a question to you and to everyone else. You don't have to answer right now. You do, Joe, but folks listening,
okay.
No, and I'll give the answer too. And most folks should know the obvious common sense answer to this, but is it already too late to start prepping? That's the question I wanted to pose this week. Is it already too late to start prepping? And of course, the answer to me is no. And I'll expand on that. Yeah, I'll expand on that here in a minute.
As long as there's still food on the shelves at your local store, you have a chance to prep. As long as there's still a pharmacy where you can go and throw together a first aid kit, do it now. Do it now while you can. Because the last thing you want to be is where everybody else is. Because, you're putting your life in somebody else's hands when you're waiting in line. Faith in the government is faith in a false god. Faith in the dollar is faith in a false god. Noah was the best prepper in the Bible. Joseph. New Testament. The little boy who had the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. His mom was a prepper. Send him out the door with food. Hello? I mean, it's a lot easier to do it now. And it's going to be a lot cheaper. And it will be definitely a lot less stressful. So prep and plan accordingly, please.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's never too late to start prepping. Never, 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 never. Next week, Joe and I found another list that made my ears perk up like a doggy at a dog whistle. There is a list how to stockpile items for free or very cheap. And Joe, you're talking about how frugal you are. You're being nice. I am a cheapskate. I'm a lot of things. A lot of things. I see no sense in spending money foolishly. Let me put it that way. So I guess I'm frugal, the word cheapskate doesn't bother me either, because I don't see anything wrong with saving money or being a penny pincher, things like that. Joe, it's never, ever too late to start prepping, and it's easy. I mean, it's simple to get started. Look in your cabinets,
most
in your
definitely.
Pantry. Look in your cabinets, in your pantry, at the things that you shop for on a regular basis. and just stock up on those things to start. Buy an extra one or two when you go shopping if you can afford it. You know, things like that. And stock up on the stuff that you're going to use first and foremost. You know, and then
exactly.
You can stock up on, you know, the other stuff. But yeah, it's never, ever, ever too late to start your preps. When you lose the ability to prep, then it's too late.
Yes. And that's when the EMP or the zombie apocalypse or whatever the local emergency is.
Or Donald Trump becomes president. I'm joking. Oh, man, I'm going to get a ton of emails about my slam on Donald Trump. Listen, folks. truthradionet@yahoo.com if you want to address your emails to Jay. but you never know what the political process is going to bring. The reason why I brought Trump up really quick is because during the presidential debate, there was not this latest one here that was in Detroit, but the previous one, there was a spike in web searches for folks who were looking for information to move to Canada. There's a lot of people who want to move to Canada or get out of the country if so-and-so, Hillary or if Trump or whoever were to get elected. Now, I don't think folks are going to take it to that extreme. That's just a lot of bloviating on those folks' parts. But the point is, regardless of who becomes president, the situation most likely isn't going to get any better. Yesterday was better than today as far as the economy goes and as far as the ticking clock towards a total meltdown. Those people who are so disgruntled can't leave the country or don't have the means to leave the country, you're going to have to prepare for that as well, for civil unrest. You know, you're going to have to prepare for civil unrest. It could be something simple, Joe, that starts it off. You know, it doesn't take much because the herd mentality will take over. If there's enough people upset, the herd mentality will take over. And pick your issue. It doesn't matter. It's possible. We've seen it happen recently in our recent past. How civil disobedience and civil order breaks down, and it breaks down quickly. You know, what would you do, say, God forbid, you know, a riot or a demonstration were to turn into a riot in your neighborhood and the whole neighborhood gets locked down, stores get burned and looted, your car gets, demolished or vandalized to the point where you can't use it anymore. And what would happen? You know, think about those things, because there's a lot of people, especially in society today, Joe, where everybody seems to be, and it's an overgeneralization. Again, address your emails to Jay. Anyway, where everyone seems to be a crybaby, a whiner. If they don't get their way, that's what they do. They whine and cry. And, you know, we're in this society now where people's feelings get hurt too much. Yeah, put on your big boy pants. People will grow up. Just words, just feelings.
Did I offend you? Welcome to America.
Yeah, I didn't offend you. Wait, give me a couple minutes. I'm sure I will. How it is. I mean, we live in the United States of eggshells, Joe. You know, where people are afraid to speak out. And when, you know, people do speak out, because it's so rare nowadays when people actually voice their own opinion and it upsets some people. It's so rare nowadays, people don't know how to handle it.
Yeah, and that is so true. Now, people, when you lose your First Amendment and you have no voice, you're a slave. When you lose your Second Amendment and you have no way to defend yourself, you're a slave. Stand. Make your voice heard, you know. I'm not saying anarchy, I'm not saying revolution, but I'm saying is you protect your rights. And the reason that the Second Amendment is there is not for hunters. It's there so that we can defend ourselves against an overbearing, tyrannical government. And that's why our forefathers put it in there, because they knew that creep happens.
Right.
System creep will kill. Think of it as bad water. The longer that bacteria is sitting in there, it's growing, and it's becoming more powerful.
Right on.
So
we're down to 4.5 minutes, bro. Oh, I think we should, it went by so fast again this week. Man, did it ever. It seems like the show just goes by quicker and quicker, and I didn't even know you had a list. It's kind of funny when I saw it. I was like, list, what do you know? We haven't done a list in so long. We've been so good about it. But next week, hey, I did see an article that I do want to go through, how to prep and stockpile for free or next to nothing. There's some really good ideas out there, and we'll get into them. And, of course, we'll take calls and whatnot. But, Joe, I'll go ahead and give you a few minutes and, you know, to say goodbye to everyone and say what you got to say, and then I'll close the show out for us.
All right. Thank you, Jay. Appreciate the soapbox to stand on. And, hey, if I can help just one person or one family out there, it was well worth my time. I'd enjoy it a lot better if a lot more of you got on board, but we'll just start with that one person or one family. Please, if you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, find him now.
Amen.
Get some private time. Check your email. Get down and pray, people. Have a good conversation with the Lord. He listens, and if you are in that quiet spot, he will tell you. He's not going to leave us out here to hang in the wind. His promises are real. And, you know, blessed is the man that prepares for his family. Take that to heart, people. If you don't have a copy of the World's Best Prepping Manual, most popular book for the last 2,000 years, it's called the Holy Bible.
Right on.
Plan and prep accordingly, people. There's a lot of relevant information in there, a lot of relevant information. And a lot of people don't realize that there is more than just the literal level of what is being said in the Word. It is the Word. There is a reason that, you know, I mean, even today, I read through Psalms every month. And Proverbs, and I'm all the time coming across stuff that, you know, that now makes sense.
Yes.
You know? And so it's not just a paperweight or a nice book to have on the coffee table, I use mine. I got a real nice one that I keep the dust off of, but I've got one that's got duct tape on it that I flip through every day. And, I don't want to, I've got notes in it, and it's not a sin to write yourself notes in on the sideline, you know?
Right.
Just people, please, plan and prep accordingly. If you're head of the house, you know, make a stand. If you're supposed to be head of the house, hey, take a stand. It's better to have a couple of weeks' worth of food than a big screen TV.
Right.
I don't care who you are. I'll tell you to your face. I know people that know I'm preppers, and I know they are not preppers. And they've told me straight up, well, I'll just come to your house. Dude, you're the first guy I'm going to steal shoelaces from and let you walk home. And, if I've told you and you fail to listen, your blood is not on my hands. Ezekiel 33. And with that, I'm going to tell y'all that I'm praying for you, for you and your families. And I'll see you at the banquet and the dance upstairs, and know, have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for our sins. And there's nothing more just let him be part of your life. And you'll start seeing things get better. I'm just able to bitch and moan a lot. And you know, sometimes I do. But, you know, it makes me a better person. And, you know, I don't worry about what other people have to say about me. Because truthfully, you know, I'll take care of my friends and family. And with that, Jay, I'm going to say thank you. And that was a rather long rant. Sorry.
That's all right. We are off of the air as far as the live show goes, but you folks listening in the download, you get to hear the last part of Joe's little rant there. And good words, Joe. Great words to live by. You know, and I agree with you about Psalms and Proverbs. Some great information there. And, you know, it's funny. It's funny when you mentioned dust on the Bible. I was thinking the same thing when you said that. I was like, yeah, if your Bible is dusty, your soul is rusty is what I was thinking, you know?
I'm honest.
I understand. Yeah, I was just saying, you know, if you don't pick up your Bible, and you, like you said, you got duct tape, and that's why I wanted to say that's one thing that wasn't on that list of 10 things that you need to stockpile. Duct tape. You can't have enough. The one I read from doesn't. But if your only Bible in your house is covered with dust, then you're not reading your Bible enough. You know, that's just me. But hey, Joe, we gotta run. Thanks, brother, for a great show once again this week. For you folks listening, we'll be back at our regular day and time next Thursday at 2 Eastern, 1 Central. Thanks, everyone, for checking us out. www.thetruthradionetwork is our website. And you can reach us email, truthradionet@yahoo.com. I rarely give out the email address, Joe, even though it's available on our website. I just forget to give it out because we do get some email from listeners from time to time. You know, I want to encourage you folks to participate in the show. Call in when we're doing a live show. We'd love to take phone calls. You know,
most definitely.
Yeah. So anyway, Joe, we'll see you next week, brother. God bless you. Thanks for the show. Man, it went by fast.
Sure did. Thank you, Jay. God bless y'all.
All right,
have a good day,
folks.
God bless y'all.
Take care and God bless. And we don't even have time to play a song on the way out the door, Joe. We'll see you next
week. Jay. We got
this,
the good tune in at the beginning.
It's the Truth Radio Network. The Truth Radio Network. Your home for compelling Christian news talk with an edge.